Shalom, brothers and sisters, and thank you for visiting the websites 12tribes.net, risers.com, or 12t.co. Happy Feast of Tabernacles. We had a great first night. All praises to the Most High. It was great to see everybody come down. And as you can see, you know, we went to our tents in the morning. You know what I'm saying? We had mad fun. We eating still from the leftovers. It was amazing. You know, it was a great Feast of Tabernacles. And this is day two. You know what I'm saying? We started tonight's class a little late. So, but it's still within the day. It's still within day two. And if you're listening, you should be listening over the radio first. And then it will also become available as a podcast to download. So the radio, we're trying to revive it, put some music for the feast, you know, and basically, you know, have it available, because sometimes we are working and we need something to listen to motivate us and to get us through the day. So check out the radio if you get a chance, which is in 12t.co. All right. But anyway, today's day two, and we're going to go over some scriptures like how we went over in class the first night in the book of Nehemiah, how the Most High had our forefathers go over scriptures every day. All right. And that's that. They did that because it's a law written in Deuteronomy that actually gives us a commandment saying to do that. And so let's start off on that. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 31. All right, let me turn to Deuteronomy 31 real quick. And we're going to go to verse 9, Deuteronomy 31 and verse 9. So I hope you guys that are listening over the internet that you already built up your tent, you know, and if you didn't, get to it. You know, it's a commandment of the Most High. Is essential to learning about the Feast of Tabernacles. You know, that's the main thing about it. And that's what makes it fun for everybody, for the kids and for grown-ups. So make sure you get to build your tent. And as I said during class, the tent does not have to be of any kind of dimension. The Most I didn't tell you how tall it has to be or how short it has to be or how wide it has to be. He didn't even tell you, you know, whether it's square or round. All he said is make sure that it's made of wood, okay? Make sure that it's made of wood and make sure that it's built. So Deuteronomy 31 and 9, let's get to it. It says, and Moses wrote this law and delivered it unto the priests, the sons of Levi. So when we went over the class on the first night of the Feast of Tabernacles, it was explained that the Levites, they are the ones that were the priests in ancient time. But now, the Most High had made it that all 12 tribes of Israel have now become a holy nation where we all are priests. Does that take away from the Levites? No, it does not. The Levites are still priests. They still have their place in our nation. They are still special to the Most High. But the difference is that instead of the high priest being from the tribe of Levi, from the lineage of Aaron, our high priest now is Christ, and he's from the tribe of Judah. So that's a humongous difference. So because of that, you're going to have 12,000 of every tribe being priests unto our nation. What is the purpose of a priest? We went over it in the first night, but let's remind you. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 10. Leviticus chapter 10 and verse 11, I think it was. Let's see. Leviticus 10 and verse 11 says, and that ye may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. So the job of a Levite was not only sacrificing like a lot of us, you know, might imagine, or just putting up incense and doing things with the tabernacle itself, you know, with the holy tabernacle, the tent of the Most High, or the temple. But their job, their main duty, really, their main purpose was full-time priests to teach the children of Israel all the laws, all the statutes, all the commandments and judgments that the Most High spoke unto the children of Israel. So going back to Deuteronomy, when it says Moses wrote this law and delivered it, delivered it means that he handed it to them. He gave it to them. It says, unto the priests, the sons of Levi. So he put it in their care. Because at this point, Moses knew that this is the end of the book. And not only is it the end of the book, it's also the end of his life. So for the Bible to keep be preserved, for the Bible, you know, at that time it was not called the Bible, it was called the Book of the Law, and it's still that. In order for that to be pure as it is to this day, that was the responsibility of a family. Because a Levite, you know, wasn't, you couldn't just be a Levite and that's it. That was the only requirement. No, it was a Levite from a specific family. And on top of that, you have to have the skill for whatever you were chosen for. So, for example, if you were carrying the ark, like we're going to read in this verse, you had to be of a specific family from the sons of Levi. So this is something that is beautiful to understand, because then you could appreciate the scriptures that you have in your hands. Because today you could get the Bible from anywhere. You could get the Bible from an app. You could get the Bible, you know, from a bookstore. Or you could go online and just search for an online Bible. Which, by the way, you know, there's a, we have one, an online Bible, a webpage, 12tribes.net/Bible. And there you can read the whole scripts, right, with the Apocrypha and everything. It's very simple, and you don't need no learning, right? So the whole point is to preserve the scriptures up to this day that is so now widely available. That is due to the fact that the Most High put the Spirit on Moses and gave the Levites this charge, gave them that responsibility. So when there was copies being made of the Bible, they came from the Levites. So when you look at the time period of the Maccabees, where the Bible was so precious and it was trying to be preserved in the fashion where, you know, the Greeks, remember, the Greeks wanted to destroy all scriptures. They didn't want any copies to be available. The Levites were the ones that make those copies available. They're the ones that translated the Bible, you know, in some instances as well. So it says, and Moses delivered it unto the Levites. Okay, unto the priests, the sons of Levi. Let's continue reading, which says, which bear the Ark of the Covenant. Bear meaning they carry the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark is a box that was made of gold, right? Wood overlaid with gold. And in that box, it wasn't just, you know, a box for no reason that they carry around. The box had inside the Ten Commandments. Inside it had Aaron's rod, which represented why Aaron was chosen as a priest, as the high priest, and his sons as the priests for future generations. Because within all the tribes, they were like, why Aaron? You chose Aaron as the high priest because he's your brother. But the Most High made a miraculous thing happen with Aaron's rod that it budded. So because of that, that's in the ark to basically be proof of the covenant, of the agreement that the Most High made with the sons of Israel via the Levitical priesthood. So it says here, which bear the Ark of the Covenant, the word covenant means agreement, of the Lord unto all, and unto all, excuse me, let me read that again, which bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and unto all the elders of Israel. So the Most High put the Spirit on Moses to say what? Okay, the priests, the Levites, they're the teachers. But also within the nation of Israel, you're going to have elders that have skill, that have ability, that are prophets, that might be judges, that might have different spirits that will be still beneficial to Israel to hearken to listen to. So because of that, Moses said, okay, you Levites, you're the ones that are going to have the Bible, but you also got to be mindful that the elders are an important factor in the nation of Israel. How important? That is in the law. It's in the law that we must have elders. Let's read that. Deuteronomy chapter 16. Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 18. So in Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 18 it says, judges, which is another word for elders, judges and officers shall thou make thee in all thy gates. When it says make thee in all thy gates, meaning in all your cities, there should always be what? An elder or a judge. It says, which the Lord thy God giveth thee throughout thy tribes, and they shall judge the people with just judgment. And they shall judge the people. Judge the people means not only teach them the laws and the commandments, but actually sentence. Like, you know, like if there's a controversy between the people, like how we went over on the first night in Deuteronomy chapter 17, it explains it. If we have a controversy, we have a matter of counsel, a matter that it might be plea and plea, or a matter to show what's holy and unholy, they, by the laws, by the scriptures, will be able to give a sentence of the law. And sometimes judgment could be also be, you know, as simple as there might be someone that gotta go. You see what I'm saying? So those are things that the Most High commanded Israel. So here in the law is showing us that there will be elders, that there will be judges, because there's a time period that for that also. You know, this is in that time period when the Levites, the priests, were the only teachers. Beside them was the elders. So here we live in a time period now that the priesthood is the whole nation, meaning all the 12 tribes, but at the same time, the ones that are expected to be the teachers should not be the young men that are coming in. It should be those that are experienced in the law, those that have understanding of the law of the Most High. Let's go real quick from here to the book of Titus, because what we read in Deuteronomy 16, verse 18, judges and officers shall thou make thee in all thy gates, is the same thing that Paul was doing when he was traveling. You know, he wasn't just setting up any Joe Schmo just because they live in a certain city, but he was setting up men that had a certain criteria. And this is what you brothers and sisters that are listening should actually be looking for, those same criterias. And this is a short list. There's a longer list than this. All right. So in Titus chapter 1, we're going to read from verse 5. Titus chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, "For this cause left I thee in Crete." So Paul left Titus in an island called Crete. And what's the reason that he left him there? "That thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting." Now, the things that are wanting means the things that are lacking, or the things that were left undone. So he's telling him, look, I had to move on. I'm writing this letter to you. I had to move on. Titus, you know, while I'm away, make sure that you put things in order. Make sure that you, you know, set things in order according to how the law of the Most High says. For example, he's going to tell us one example that is of things that need to be set in order. "And ordain elders in every city." Doesn't that sound the same exact thing as what we read in Deuteronomy? "Judges and officers shall thou make thee in all thy gates." It's the same thing. "Ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee." Meaning this is the job that I gave you. This, you know, this is, I didn't need to say it because you could do that. So "if any be blameless," that's the first thing. An elder cannot be just anybody. Like I said earlier, it must be a person that is known for their righteousness, is known for keeping the commandments well. So when it says "if any be blameless," that means that nobody could put blame on that person. Like, oh, you did this, you committed adultery, because if you committed adultery, you know, he's not even supposed to be in the nation, you know, as that's a fact. So it can't be that some sin could be pointed to that person. So "if any be blameless, the husband of one wife." What do you mean the husband of one wife? His house is in order. He can't be ran by his wife. His wife can't be the one running the household. He can't be, you know, "yes, baby, yes, 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 baby, yes, baby, yes, baby." And everything she say, like Ahab, an example, Ahab and Jezebel. Anything she say, even if it's wicked, he follow what she say. Like making the mistake that Adam did. Making the mistake that Ahab did. All right? So he got to be a man, you know, where basically he commands his household. Because if he can't run his household, how is he expected to run the congregation? So it says here also, having faithful children. Having faithful children. You have brothers, you know, speaking to families about how their families must be and how their children are out of order, but you look at their kids, they're little devils, you know. You know, and they can't even hide it, you know, and people tolerate it because they be like, oh, but he knows the scripts, you know, I guess, you know, his kid is just like that. No, your kids are supposed to be in submission to the Most High. And the reason why is because when we go back to Deuteronomy 31, what the purpose of that law that we read in Deuteronomy 31 is to understand that Moses created a law for the children of Israel in case the priests, the elders were not doing their job of teaching Israel on the Feast of Tabernacles. He made a law that is for the purpose of learning. You know what I'm saying? And not only for the purpose of learning, it's also for the purpose of creating righteous habits. Okay, and as we're going to read, you're going to see that. And if your elder that you're supposed to be learning from, he can't run his household right, his children are not learning from him, how are we to expect that those children that come for the feast are also going to pay attention? How can we expect that those children are going to get a good example, etc., etc.? All right? So, faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. And the reason we have these rules written in the scriptures is because it's part of the law. That's actually law, what we're reading right here in Titus. It's not rules, it's laws. So if you have an elder that does not fit this description, he cannot be a bishop. He cannot be an elder. All right? Because the word bishop means elder. Remember verse 5? He said, ordain elders in every city. To ordain elders in every city. To ordain elders in every city. I'm going to say it one more time. To ordain elders in every city. So verse 7 says, for a bishop. What is a bishop? An elder that is ordained in a city. Must be blameless. The steward of God. So a bishop must. It's not a maybe. It's not like, oh, but this brother, you know, he knows the scripts. I know he ain't got everything right, but, you know, he knows some of the scripts. No, he must be blameless as the steward of God. What do I mean by steward? A steward is a servant. A steward is a student. A steward is someone that is faithful, right? You got to think about, like, back in ancient time when you had men that were masters and they would have a steward, which would be like the head butler or the head, you know, person responsible for managing their things. So when it says a steward of God, you have to understand that these men are managing the congregation. They're the heads of that little sanctuary in this city. They're the heads of that little sanctuary in this city, and they're supposed to be the ones making sure that things are running smooth. All right? So it says, not self-will, meaning not willingly committing sin. And self-will means that he's uncontrollable. He can't control himself. Not soon angry, because you got brothers that when they get a little bit position of authority, they forget that they're not really an authority. They're servants, right? But they get soon angry. Yo, you got to do this. They bark on people, you know. Bark commandments and stuff like that, like as if they are the Lord, as if they are Christ, as if they are masters. So not soon angry. It says, not given to wine, meaning you can't be a drunk. We had a brother that was in the midst of the congregation, and he wanted to be an elder so bad. But he was a drunk. You know what I'm saying? And not only was he a drunk, he was not skilled in the scriptures. So he might be able to fool. So he eventually he left because he you know, Deuteronomy chapter 1 and all those scriptures that go into how an elder is supposed to be corrected him. You know what I'm saying? And on top of that, not only correct him, we apply Matthew 18, which is the steps of correction that we should take if someone is not willing to repent. Right? So after being corrected, he left because he understood that based on the scriptures right here, nobody in the congregation will listen to him. He will not be an elder, not because we chose, but because of his own sin. So the scripture says, not given to wine nor striker. You can't be an abusive man. You know, his wife listened to him because he punched her in the eye. He can't be that type of brother. He can't be a striker, a brother that's brawling, that physically does harm, you know, to people. So no striker, not given to filthy lucre, and that's one of the biggest things that you see in Israel today. Elders that all they think about is how to make filthy money. They use this truth as a business, not to do the Lord's business, but as an actual business for their personal gain. So when we read the scriptures, none of our forefathers, the priests, the Levites, were full-time priests. And the children of Israel had the responsibility of maintaining those men, right? So that they could actually do their jobs as good as they're supposed to. But in this time period, people are you have to understand, we're not Levites, right? There's still certain laws that will help the priest to be able to sustain him if he's not able to, but it's not the congregation's responsibility to give someone a lavish lifestyle. All right, like when you look at the Creflo Dollars, when you look at the TD Jakes, the Joel Osteens, and all those televangelists, you got some brothers that have that spirit on them where they want to be, you know, in those type of shoes. They want to be revered like those type of men. So they conform to the people so that they could actually be able to make money off of them. They merchandise the people. All right, I'm going to make sure that you buy my t-shirts. I'm going to make sure that you buy my garments. You want to teach even though you're not ready? It's okay. You know, we're the Israelite Walmart. You could get a sign. You know what I'm saying? You could get a sign that is not right. But we're going to give you this sign right here so that you could go ahead and pretend to be one of us. Another thing we're going to do is we're not going to teach the calendar of the Most High to you so that you don't know how to calculate. But what we're going to do is we're going to sell you a calendar so that way, you know, you got something hanging up nice with some nice graven images on it. So these are things that brothers do. And when you look at ancient times in ancient Israel, when there were men during, like, for example, we live in the kingdom of Edomites right now. And the kingdom of Edomites didn't start yesterday. It started during the Greek time period. So when you look at our history, you can actually see the same thing that's happening today that it happened before. Things repeating itself. And you will see that there were men that dallied with the Gentiles, that basically forsook the laws of the Most High, but still wanted to be called priests. Still wanted to be called elders, wanted the high priesthood, even though they were not blameless. In ancient Israel, we understood well enough to say, no, that is against the law for us to set up a man that is not worthy of his vocation, a man that is not worthy of the position, because a high priest was supposed to be above the people in righteousness, not below. You know what I'm saying? So, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, meaning he's charitable. He's a man that loves when, you know, brothers and sisters come around. He's basically like a servant. He, you know, provides for his people, etc. That's what I mean by lover of hospitality. Someone come over, you're not going to, you know, expect them to bring you things. You're going to expect from them that you're going to give them some water. You're going to give them some food if necessary, if they're hungry. That's what hospitality is. Like when you go to a hospital, you know, they take care of you. Well, they're supposed to, right? So it says a lover of good men. And the word lover is no homo type stuff going on. No homo. But it says a lover of good men, all right? That means that you, when you see righteous men, instead of having that spirit of envy, that spirit of jealousy, or having that hatred, you know, instead of being that, like Saul, who hated David, David was benefiting him. You know, David was establishing Saul's kingdom, but he's like, oh, the women are singing about David instead of about me. Instead of him having that spirit, he's going to love the brothers. Okay, he's going to be like, those brothers are good men. They're righteous men. I can't wait to see my brothers or whatever, right? Lovers of good men, sober, just, holy, and temperate. Sober. So he can't be high. He can't be drunk. Just, like how we read in Deuteronomy 16, they must, you know, judge with just judgment. So to be just, you have to know the laws. You have to know judgment. How to discern between good and evil, clean and unclean, holy and unholy. So just, holy, holy as our Father which is in heaven is holy, right? Holy means pure, sanctified, cleansed, and temperate. Temperate is when someone could control their temper. When someone, you know, as even if they're provoked, they know they can maintain their spirit. Holding fast. You hear that? Holding fast. Fast means quick and secure. Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught. So the reason the Most High gave the responsibility of the Bible, the book of the law, in the time period of Moses to the Levites and to some elders is because the Levites, they got taught from little, from the moment they were 3 years and up, they started getting taught the laws from their fathers. So they were expected to be faithful and holding fast what they had been taught by their parents. So they witnessed, they saw, they heard, they experienced, they got put to practice the laws of the Most High. They rehearsed, and every time they got better and better. Because when we little kids, we might, you know, want to do it, but don't fully understand what we're doing. But by the time they reach an age of a man, that they were 30, that's when they were allowed to become priests. And by then, the fathers, the elders, they knew whether this man was truly dedicated, whether he spent enough time learning. Basically, you could tell the spirit in that person. It's like, yeah, he's going to be good. You know, he's 30 now. He's a grown man. He understands. You know, because it's a matter of life and death sometimes for these Levites. Like when you read in Leviticus 10, some of the sons of Aaron died for not providing the right incense to the Most High. So it was a real, real responsible job that you have to do, okay? So holding fast faith of the word of truth. Because in this time period, we're coming back as a nation. So you're going to have some things that were taught by elders that are incorrect. Because they learned it from the world or they learned it from some book outside the Bible. But what we're supposed to hold fast and that never supposed to waver is the law. The law is really the guide that we should follow. So the best thing that we could do for ourselves as individuals, and then as a family, then as a tribe, and then actually, let's start like this. Individual, household. Let's not say family. Let's say household. Okay? Then you can say family. Because sometimes your family might be more than just your household. Then tribe and then nation is to learn the laws of the Most High. Once we learn the laws of the Most High, that's the key to everything. That's the key to making it to the kingdom, to open that door for us through the Messiah, through Christ. So we got to be like how our forefathers were. We got to be versed in the laws in and out. So it says, holding fast the faithful word as he had been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine. You know what I mean by sound doctrine? That it doesn't sound crazy. That when you go throughout the whole script, it is exactly what is taught. It's sound. Okay? It's good. Sound doctrine, both to exhort and to convince. Exhort means you might have times where brothers have been taught the doctrine, but they're not keeping up with it. So you got to have to exhort. Exhort means, you know, build them back up. You know, remind them. You know, encourage them. Because that's what a preacher is for. So both exhort and convince. There's times when brothers might be like, nah, I don't agree with that. So you got to go deeper into the scriptures and show them, look, yes, this is what it means. This is not my opinion. This is not what I'm stating. Look, let me show you from front to back. Convince them, okay, of what it states in the scriptures. Convince the gainsayers. What is a gainsayer? A person that's trying to get the last word. And we have a lot of those in the nation of Israel that without scripture, they'll try to, you know, supersede the word of the Most High. They'll try to, you know, you're trying to show them what the Most High's words say, and they already got a preconceived thought, and they think they know something, but they can't defend what they believe in. So they try to just use their own words or gainsay what you're showing them. In ancient Israel, that didn't happen. Like during Christ's time period, you had the Pharisees and the Sadducees trying to gainsay Christ, but when he came with a scripture, they would be quiet. There was nothing they would say right after because they knew that what he stated came from the law, and it was a wrap. That's it. You can't change the law. You cannot bend it and twist it to your own thinking. It is what it is, all right? So this is a law right here showing us why Moses handed over the Bible, the book of the law, to the priests, the Levites, and to the elders. So like I said, please, brothers and sisters, learn. Learn. This is the purpose of this law, is so that you could what? Learn. Notice who he gave it to. He didn't give it to just any Joe Schmo. He said the priests, the Levites, and the elders. Because in this time period, we have brothers that have the desire, which is not a bad thing at all. It's actually a good spirit to have. The desire to want to be teachers. The desire to, you know, share the word with our people. And you can share the word without being an elder. There's nothing wrong with sharing the word. But do it according to your ability. Do it according to what you know. But, do not forsake this instruction. Okay, like when we read Ecclesiasticus, let's go to it in the Apocrypha. Ecclesiasticus